This is 30 Minutes with GSW, a weekly podcast from Benga Samu Wemimo Ministry International. May your hearts receive the engrafted Word of God and your walk deepened with the Holy Spirit as you listen.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to 30 Minutes with GSW. This morning, I'll be speaking on the topic, Why Believers Pray. It is important that we understand the distinctive difference that is between a believer and religious people. Every religion in the world has a form of prayer. In fact, prayer is a perfect component. If there is a religion and there is no form of prayer in it, it is not a religion. The one thing that makes you know whether a religion is fit to qualify as a religion is that there is a form of prayer, a form of obeisance paid to a higher power in that religion. But for the believer, the opposite is the case. You see, we pray that our most holy faith may be built up. We pray that we might fulfill the days of Christ, prolong the days of Christ on the earth. So when we pray, we do not pray like beggars. We do not pray like those who would say, oh, I'm a slave of God, I'm compelled to pray. We are not compelled. It is part of our makeup. It is who we are. The Spirit of God dwells with us and inside of us. And for that spirit to be quickened, to be empowered, to be able to do the things that Christ promised, it has to be kept in line, in the loop, in communication with the Spirit of God. So you have the Spirit of God within, and then you have the Spirit of God above. And the Spirit of God above, the Spirit of God above, the present Spirit of God that comes into a community, into a congregation, into your room when you pray, and the Spirit of God that's within you are supposed to be in consistent and constant communication. That way, the Christian is not only guided as to what to do, he or she is empowered and fortified with the grace and the strength to carry out difficult things effortlessly. Let me say that again. Sometimes somebody will say to me, oh, I'm a servant of God and my church is not growing. Another person will say to me, financially, I'm stuck at 100,000 a month for 5 years. I've not been able to earn more than that. Another person will say to me, ah, Brother Gwenga, I've been dealing with this issue in my body. It's an issue that has to do with my period. I see it only 3 times a year. I desire that it will come consistently and regularly. Another person will say, I have this project I'm doing. I started it well, but I got stuck right in the middle of it, and I didn't know the next step to take. Another person will say, I bought this property. I've wasted a lot of money on it, and it is not showing forth the amount of money being spent on it. People can't see the money. Just like a hole where I'm throwing my money into. Another person will say, oh, I have a child that is sick, and my child did not recover or has not recovered. And I've spent so much on drugs, on doctors, on this, on that. Another person would say, ah, Brother Gwenga, please, you have to say something about my marriage. This thing is so difficult. I'm trying my best, but nothing is working. And all these people I mentioned are believers. But most of the time, they pray the wrong way. There is a way an unbeliever prays, because unbelievers also pray. There is a way a believer pray, because believers also pray. When the disciples came to Jesus and they said, teach us how to pray, they were unbelievers at the time. Many of us did not pay attention to scripture, to see it. Jesus had not died. So Jesus had not become the Messiah. So they were unbelievers. Because until Jesus died and resurrected, there were no believers. They were followers. They were disciples. You will notice that after the death of Jesus, they stopped calling them disciples. They began to call them apostles. They began to call them members of the way, followers in the way. They stopped calling them disciples. Go and check your scriptures. Because if you situate the scriptures well, you will understand the scriptures and you will be able to follow it. A lot of us, when we read the scriptures, we forgot that it's an account of an evolution. And that the evolution started with the birth of Jesus and then ended with his death in this phase one. Then the second level of it started after the resurrection till the day the Holy Spirit came. Then the third session started after Acts chapter 2 till now. We forget that when we read it, we should read some account as historical and not practice what those ones practiced, because we do not belong in their dispensation. So somebody, a Christian that wakes up in the morning and they said, this is how to pray. When you wake up, you ask for forgiveness of sin. You first thank the Lord. Then you ask for forgiveness of sin, because without your sin, God did not answer you. Then you plead for mercy. Then after that, you ask God for what you want. I was taught that formula when I was young by people who do not know better. But that was not how a born-again Christian prays. Why? A born-again Christian has already been filled with the Holy Ghost. He now has the presence of God in him. So he cannot pray like somebody who is on the outside. Let me give you an image so that you can understand it. Let's say there is a house. It's a house. And then it is raining. And people are outside the house. A lot of people are outside the house. And the owner of the house does not know them. They are strangers. They are begging that you should let them in because of the rain. Let us come into your house. Let us come. The rain is beating us. Let us come into your house. Let us come into your house. The rain is beating us. And the owner of the house was like, I don't know these guys. Why would I put strangers in my house because it is raining? They should go to their own homes or their houses, right? And then the son of the owner of the house comes. He has a key. He comes to the door. He opens the door. He walks in. He locks the door. Why? Because it is his house. His father's house. He can walk in at any time. He does not need to beg to be let in. He does not need to scream on top of his voice, ah, save me today or I die. He does not need to rend the heavens and scatter the earth. No, he's his son. He has access to his father. He is now a bona fide member of that household. He cannot be denied access. Every born-again Christian has come into the inner court. We are no longer in the outer court. We are now in the Holy of Holies. We have been brought into the presence of God. He said, in his presence, there is fullness of joy. And at his right hand, there are pleasures. We have been brought into that presence, not just for when we are in church, or when we are praying in tongues, or when we are attending service. He said, I will dwell in the presence of the Lord forever. From the day you became born again, you became a member of his presence with your full ID, with your full identity. You became a member of the presence of God. That means you are no longer one of those that will be saying, have mercy, O Lord, have mercy. You are no longer one of those that will say, ah, I'm begging you. That's not your song. You see, you are no longer crying to be heard. You are no longer weeping for your prayers to be answered. You are a son. Do you know what it means to be a son? Because many of us do not pray as sons. We say it. We say, I am a son of God. We say, I am a child of God. But we act as if God is a stranger. As if God is somebody we cannot touch. Yeah, you hear some people saying, those who are searching for you cannot see you. Especially the African mindset. Any wow, They will say, he who is searching for you cannot find you. No, that is not what you say to a born-again Christian. We are in him, seated in him, dwelling in him, abiding in him. We have a permanent place in the Lord. We never depart. We are now part of his inheritance. The Bible says we are members of his body, his flesh, and his bones. Apostle Paul writing in the book of Ephesians, he said, we are now members of his body, his flesh, and his bones. He didn't say we are members of his blood. Some of us, when we are praying, we will say, I plead the blood of Jesus. Other people will say, blood of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus. Blood of Jesus. It is not the way a born-again Christian prays. The blood of Jesus was meant for the remission of sin. Your sins have been remissed. They are gone. Why are you shouting? And especially when they are shouting that thing, it's because they are afraid. When they are praying, you said, they say, we plead the blood of Jesus. Somebody will say, blood of Jesus. We plead the blood of, another will say, blood of Jesus. Against every witchcraft, blood of Jesus. They are full Christians, tormenting themselves right in the presence of their own Father in the place of prayer. You will see the way they will be shouting blood of Jesus. You will see that it's fair. They are normally, when they normally pray, they are not shouting. Immediately you hear, I plead the blood of Jesus. He said, blood of Jesus with fervor. And then they will say, over witchcraft, over this one. What is wrong with people? They need education. That is not how to pray. Apostle Paul said, I wish that all men would lift up holy hands. Ikapene, ladidi bane. That they will lift up holy hands as they lift up their hands and pray to the Lord. You see, when you lift up your hands and pray, you are praying in the Spirit. You are praying in the Spirit. Because the Bible says that we know not what we ought to pray for. Meaning that your prayer requests that most of the time you write are request of the things that you sense by your situation that you need. Number one, I need rent. Number two, I need a better job. Number three, I need a husband. Number four, my children. Then my mommy. Then number six, a better walk with God. Number seven, all those things that you listed. They were perceived from your senses, from your human brain, that those are the things you need. But those may not be the things you truly need. Do you ever consider that? That the reason you pray and pray amiss is because you are praying according to the senses. You are not praying according to the Spirit. I give you an example. They brought a man to me, a pastor. They said he was asleep. He had a dream. He screamed from his dream. And then when he woke up paralyzed. That he had a spiritual attack, right? When they brought him for prayers. And his wife and family had been to so many places. And they've told them, this is witchcraft. This is enemy. They had the anointing for many places. Handkerchief for many places because he's a pastor, everybody was contributing whatever they could contribute to his well-being. When I saw the wife, I said, ah, madam, how long have you been fasting? She said, ah, since the attack happened, over a month she has been eating only once a day. I said, can you do me a favor? Can you go find something to eat? She said, ah, I said, yeah. I said, if you want me to minister to your husband, you need to eat. It will be the first time that anybody would say something like that to her. Everybody would have encouraged her to keep fasting. But when you get to the solution, it's like being thirsty and you get to a water trough. The first thing you will do is drink water. Only a fool will be thirsty, get to a water and sit down. If indeed he will be healed, then it has to be as a result of faith, not as a result of, I do not, I didn't want her to say it was because I was fasting. No. Because God did not raise his children to suffer before they can hear from him. Many of us who are parents here, we do not ask our children to die of hunger before we give our children food. Jesus said so himself in his word. He said, how many of us will our children ask us for bread and we give them stone? Ask us for fish and we give them snake? Because many of us have a lopsided idea of God. We treat God as if our earthly parents are better than God. Jesus said we act as if our parents are more righteous than God. Because we would go to our parents and say, Daddy, this is what I need. We will not go fasting. I didn't think throughout my life that I fasted for one day in order to talk to my earthly father to pay my school fees or to buy me clothes or to buy me shoes. I never thought, it never happened. That's the truth. I never fasted to speak to my earthly mother to do anything for me. If I wanted them to do something, I just tell them. If they can afford it, they'll tell me. When they can't afford me, they'll tell me, okay, we'll do it later. But I go to them and I say, Daddy, I need to pay for this. I need to pay for that. I need some this. I need some that. And the same thing with my children. None of my children had ever fasted or prayed so that I can meet their needs. And we apply this principle to our God. We were not raised to walk in the fullness of the confidence of the power of the Holy Spirit that we received. And what the Holy Ghost can do in us if we will live by the Spirit. So this woman went to it. When she got back, I told her, said, does your husband eat? Said, yes. I said, can you feed him? So she brought out this milk, special milk. Well, I think somebody gave them and some biscuits, and she gave him food. And when he had eaten, I said to him, sir, you have been healed. Can you stand? And everybody around me looked. They were like, he didn't even pray. I didn't. And it was deliberate. Can you stand? And he tried. He didn't have the energy. I said, no. The wife said, can I help him? I said, no, he will stand up by himself. Breathe in and breathe out. Breathe in, regain composure, and try again. The second time he tried, he sat up. Strength came. Everybody screamed. Then he stood up. Then I told him, I said, you have some money belonging to church with you, which you have spent. He said, yes. I said, that is the reason for this sickness. It wasn't an attack of the enemy. You were worried that you are going to be disgraced. They kept some money with you from church. The money was much. You have spent it. Now they are demanding for the money from your church. And you are the pastor. You couldn't raise the money. You began to think day and night, think day and night. Eventually you got struck. The affliction you had in your dream had nothing to do with the enemy. It was because of the pressure of the money. So all the places you've gone that they are telling me is enemy, it's not enemy. The enemy has not been given the right to touch you. But the Bible said that I was afflicted when I strayed. When I strayed, that is, when I do certain things that I'm not supposed to do, then they bring me problem. And then I begin to worry about the problems, and then I will stop praying, and then I'll stop. And those are the things that cause us harm. And I said, so you have been praying amiss. And all the people around you were encouraging you to pray amiss. You see, because they were telling you the enemy is outside, but the enemy is not outside. The enemy was within. How much was the money? You told me. I said, okay. Now, if you go to church, people will say he has been sick, he has spent money on his sickness, you know. So they will forgive the money. I said, that is how I see this. You are sick, but you are not really sick. It was a psychological sickness. But I cannot deny that. All the things they told you, that they were lies, I can't say that. I cannot deny also that you are sick, because you are sick. I could see he was sick. But at the same time, I knew wasn't any enemy. It was psychological. I could tell him that because I hear from God. I know when I see an affliction, and I know when I see a self-inflicted problem. I know when somebody is having a mental problem, real mental problem, that the enemy attacked him. And I know when people will develop a mental problem due to their own obsessions and due to their own inability to follow through with right thinking. All sorts of things plague people, but the Spirit of God is the one that will filter them so that you can see which one is the hand of the enemy, which one is the hand of man, and which one is self-inflicted. If a wife is slowly poisoning her husband, when the wife and the husband comes to you for prayer, you can be telling them it's the enemy. You can tell them it's something. But if you are full of the Holy Spirit, you'll be able to say to the husband that, "Hey, madam, why are you doing this to him?" Wife will say, "No." You say, "Ah, no, you are the one. Husband, your wife is poisoning you." I went through cases like that before. If you are not full of the Holy Spirit, you cannot know that. You cannot know when the husband is the one that is causing calamity for the family because he has a side chick or another woman somewhere. And the woman is the one afflicting the entire family. And the husband and wife will come for prayer. He has a hidden life somewhere. He will not tell you that hidden life. If you are not full of the Holy Spirit and you don't know how to pray right, you will tell him his enemy. Everybody blames the enemy. Nobody really divides the word of truth the way they should. Well, we should divide the word of truth. The Bible says we should rightly divide. That was what Apostle Paul told Timothy. Rightly divide the word of truth, which means when people come to us with issues, if you are full of the Holy Spirit, you should be able to tell them what is wrong and then give them the solution to it and not just automatically say, enemy. Somebody is doing somebody. Somebody is attacking somebody. So because some of these things, we just say them. Because we like just like people blaming the devil for everything. People blaming the devil for everything. People blaming enemy for everything. Even the things that obviously you can see that they were the cause. Everybody will be saying it's enemy. Everybody will say, "Ah, it's devil." It is a cop out that many people who do not really operate in the spirit do. I try not to do that. You rarely see me, especially when somebody is born again. Unbelievers are under the jurisdiction of the enemy. So they, I know, when they bring their problems, I know the first thing to do was to bring them into Christ so that their problem can be solved. But when a believer is in crisis, it is not the enemy. Oftentimes, it is because he wasn't praying right. It is because he has allowed inordinate affection. He has misplaced his priority. He has made decisions that are wrong for him and that can put him in trouble. He has done something that he needed. He rang a bell that needed to unring so that he can be back to his 2 feet. And this is why a believer has to pray. We pray so that we can keep in step with the Lord because we are now saviors out of Zion. That's what the Bible says about us, that after we have received Christ, we have become one like him. We have received the spirit that is like him. The Allos Paracletos, the Holy Ghost, makes us one like Christ. Did you ever see Jesus Christ in his life begging for mercy? You can read your Bible again. If you ever see Jesus Christ, the way Jeremiah prayed, the way Isaiah prayed, that he will say, "Lord, we have sinned, we have sinned, we have sinned." Go and check your Bible. Did you ever see Jesus pray like that? Go and read again. Did you see Apostle Paul pray like that? Go and read again. Did you see Peter pray like that? If you read the book of 1st and 2nd Peter, you read all the 14 epistles of Apostle Paul, and then you read the words of Jesus Christ spoken in the Gospels. If you ever see Jesus saying that, "I am a sinner," in one place, please send me a message. Show it to me. Or Jesus Christ saying, "I am unworthy." Show me one place in the whole of your Bible where Jesus said that. Because in this new life, we can no longer speak like that. Unbelievers can speak like that. But those who are filled with the Holy Ghost cannot say they are unworthy. The Holy Ghost has made them the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, has given them worth and value. So now they stand in the presence of God as priests and kings. A priest cannot say, "I'm unworthy." A king cannot say, "I'm unworthy." because it has been imputed, bequeathed upon them, the what to stand in the presence of God. So when we pray in the spirit, and there we make declarations. If we are listening to the first 30 minutes of before we started this program, 6 to 6:30, I prayed in the spirit. And then at a point, I began to make declaration. I began to make bold statements about myself, about my mission, about my life, about my family. I began to say that I am from the government of heaven. I have come to impose the will of God on the earth. That everyone that would come across me today, they have come across a blessing. That the words that I will speak are spirit and they are life. That I am a dispenser of divine verities, heavenly blessings. That those who meet me today have met with their salvation. For Christ in me is the hope and the manifestation of glory. When I speak like that, it wasn't an empty boast. It was to confirm that which was written about all believers in the book of Revelation chapter 5. The Bible says we shall rule and reign over the earth, for he has purchased us. He has purchased us for God. This is the mindset a believer has when he prays, that I am a blessing. A believer is deliberately aligning himself with the word of God, saying that I have come to do thy will, O God, in the place of prayer, and then dispensing in the place of intercession, we dispense. We speak forth blessings to other people. Oh, I pray for the land of China. Who are you to pray for China? If you are not blessed, can you bless somebody else? Somebody that is saying I'm unworthy cannot be praying for China. So when people say, ah, they say we should be doing intercession, and then you say, I'm unworthy, I bless you. How can somebody that is unworthy bless me? Before you can bless me, you have to be worthy to bless. Do you understand? Before you can say, oh, in the name of Jesus, I pray for you, you have to be somebody that is in right standing. Before you can bless others, somebody that has money is the one that will give people money. A broke person cannot give anybody anything. A sinner cannot dispense blessing. They can only dispense sin. However, a righteous person can dispense the fruits of righteousness. Therefore, when a believer prays, he prays from the position that God has put him in Christ. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am a dispenser of eternal verities. Where I go, goodness and mercy and the favor of God goes. When I lay my hands on the sick, they get healed. Because I am healed. Because I have been made whole. Because I have received the fullness of Christ in me. This is the mindset that the believer prays for. This is the eternal life. The water that flows out of a river, out of the belly of a Christian. The Bible says it is the eternal life. It is the water of life. If the river of life will flow through you, you cannot be saying, I am bitter water. I am not sweet water. No, because it is not the water of the Old Testament that is flowing from you. It is the water of the Holy Ghost. This is the mindset you must cultivate as a born-again Christian. Either you feel it or not, it does not matter. It is not about feeling. It's not about, no. It is about what the word has written about you. You are written before you are born. Let me say it again. In the book of Isaiah, the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, right? And he has anointed me. So you are written of, it was written of you, how you will speak. Even in the Old Testament, how you will see, how you will speak, how you will behave was written ahead of the time you were born. You see, so this has something to do with your feeling. It is you aligning with what was written. He said, for he has anointed me. You see, he has anointed you to do what? Is it to lament, to cry, to say that I don't have, or to say I'm a sinner? No. He has anointed me to break the chains of the captive. Ibini kapani. Easy. It is the word of God. I am anointed to break the chains of the captive. Now, somebody that is captive cannot break the chain of other captives. It is only the free that can set others free. Therefore, I say boldly that I'm free. I say boldly that I belong to the Lord. I say boldly that I'm full of grace and truth. I say boldly that I am a blessing to my generation. I say boldly that those who hear the utterance of my voice all over the world, they hear and their heart are tingled. They come into the inheritance of who they are in Christ, and they manifest it boldly their environment. I say boldly that when you hear my voice, it's like you hear the voice of Christ Himself, the voice of many waters. This is the word of God concerning me, and this is the word that I've brought to you. When you learn how to pray the right way from your position, you will see that nothing shall by any means hurt you. God bless you. Thank you for listening. We are still praying. So continue to pray, but this time with this right mindset. Somebody that is blessed, please unmute and shout, Glory!
Glory to God. We trust you've been blessed by the Spirit-inspired words. Do come back for more episodes. You can also visit the ministry website at www.gswmi.com for more inspirational content.